go. We are living in a marvelous year. Now, I mean, that is intended to get chuckles, but we're living in a marvelous year because this is, I don't remember another year like this when we've had, although there have been, I'm sure, when we have skipped Shofar on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, we've skipped Lulav on the first day of Sukkot, and Megillah will not be read on the proper day either. In other words, all three of the famous applications of a famous decree play out in the same year. Okay, that's my my preface there. Okay, here we go. Let's take a look at it. Now, there's a lot of source material. We're not going to look at all of it, but it's there available, and you have it. If you need it sent to you again, let me know, and I'll send it to you. But I want to start with the Mishnah at the beginning of Masechet Megillah. The beginning of Masechet Megillah lays out the different days on which the Torah is read. And the basic rule is the walled cities read on the 15th, the unwalled cities read on the 14th, and the villagers are able to read it earlier than the 14th on the market day, Monday, Thursday, circumstances which no longer apply, by the way, but anyhow, that's it is. Now, I want to, and the Mishnah then, in Mishnah Bet, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, Vav, and Zion, go through every possible day of the week that the 14th could fall out on and when each group is going to read, all three groups. I'm not concerned right now about anything till Friday. Chaliot Erev Shabbat in the yellow highlight, meaning if the 14th is Friday, which is this year, Kfarim Makdimin Liyom HaKnisa, right? So the villagers go back and read it on Yom HaKnisa, which means they would read it on Thursday. Right on the day that we have Tiny Nestor, they'd be reading Megillah. They'd be fasting also, read Megillah. So the regular cities read on Friday, and the walled cities read on Friday. And by the way, what's going to happen this year in Yerushalayim? Everybody's reading on Friday. Yerushalayim, Tel Aviv, Beit Shemesh, Afula, Ofra, everybody's reading on Friday. And Yerushalayim will not be reading on Shabbat, which is the 15th. Chaliot b'Shabbat, let's say the 14th is on Shabbat, which cannot happen in our calendar, but in the times of the Mishnah could. Kfarim v'yarog lot mukdamin v'korim le'yom ha'knisa. Everybody goes back to Thursday. So we can't read it on Shabbat. Shabbat's the right day. So we don't read it on Friday, according to this opinion. It's machloket in the Gemara. We go back to Thursday and read. U'mukafot choma l'machar. And of course, Yerushalayim reads on Sunday. That's easy because that's the 15th. Okay. One more thing I want to show you in the series of Mishnayot is Be'elu Amru Makdimin V'lo Ma'achrin. In other words, in the context of Megillah and several other halachot, when the date falls out on Shabbat and for some reason it cannot be actively celebrated or commemorated on Shabbat, we move it earlier. So Megillah doesn't go pushed off to Sunday when Shabbat is the 14th. Megillah goes back to Thursday. Tanit Bechorot this year is going to be back on Thursday because Pesach is Shabbat, the Seder Saturday night. So the Tanit goes backwards, okay, and several other things. However, what happens when Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbat? We've had a lot of that in the last few years. We don't go up, we go back. If we push it off, we push it off to Sunday, right? Aval's Manatze Kohanim. So I'm not concerned with that. I'm just trying to point out that the Mishnah is underscoring a very great sensitivity to the fact that Megillah is not going to be read on Shabbat. And here in the Tosefta, you have one additional piece. Afal pi shamru makdimin v'lo ma'achrin. In other words, Megillah is one of those things that if the date falls out on Shabbat, we do it earlier rather than later, unlike Tisha B'Av, for instance. Korinata Megillah v'govin u'machalkin bo bayom. This is critical. We read the Megillah on Friday, the 14th on Shabbat. We read the Megillah on Friday, and we collect the tzedaka and give it out on Friday. Why? And this is going to be key for us. She'ein enehem shala'aniyim nesuot el aliyom mikra Megillah. The anim, the poor people, are looking and anticipating when they hear the Megillah, they know they're going to be getting a nice piece of tzedaka, which we call matanot lev yonim. Right, and the Tosefta then quotes a pasuk to support it. Vayamim ha'ele nizkarim nasim b'chol dor vador, meaning these days are commemorated and celebrated, and the idea is to celebrate and commemorate on the same day. So since you can't give out the tzedakah on Shabbat, you have to read the Megillah on Friday and give out the tzedakah then. Okay? But the question I'm going to ask you is, why not read the Megillah on Shabbat? In other words, why when Purim falls on Shabbat, which again, it doesn't in outside of Yerushalayim and Hebron, etc. It doesn't in our calendar, but it could in that calendar. Why when the 14th falls out on Shabbat, why not read the Megillah on Shabbat? There's no good reason. There really isn't. After all, we read from the Sefer Torah on Shabbat. We read Megillot on Shabbat, Dafka, Shir HaShirim, and Kohelet. We wait for Shabbat Chol HaMoed. It's called Chol HaMoed. Shabbat HaMoed to read the Megillah. So we read Megillot on Shabbat. Why can't we read Megillah Esther on Shabbat? It's very strange. All right. So the Gemara in Megillah Daf Dalet, after going through the discussion about when the 14th is on Shabbat, do you read it on Friday or Thursday, which I've mentioned, there's a couple opinions, the Chulei Alma Mi'a Megillah B'Shabbat Lo Karina. But everybody agrees you don't read Megillah on Shabbat. Why? Why don't you read Megillah on Shabbat? Now, you understand how I'm connecting this with Shofar and Lulav, because we skipped it. Now, by the way, in the case of Shofar and Lulav, we didn't do it on Erev Shabbat, and we really didn't do it the next day. The next day we were doing for the next day. So we actually lost it totally, as opposed to Megillah, which we just do earlier. So Amar Rabba. Rabba, right? Beginning of the third century in Pumadita. Hakol Chayavin B'Kriyat Megillah. Now, several manuscripts have Uvit Kiyat Shofar here. Most of them don't. One of the early prints of the Talmud in the Venice print has it, but it seems to be an error. You'll see why in a minute. Hakol Chayavin B'Kriyat Megillah. Everybody's obligated to Kriyat Megillah. And this connects with the Zoom question we had earlier. Ve'en Hakol B'Ki'in B'Mikra Megillah. Not everybody knows how to do this, how to read Megillah. That's true. Not everybody needs an expert. What's the concern? Gzeira Shema Yitlena Biado. We're concerned that the average citizen who says, oh, it's Purim, I have to read Megillah, I don't know how to, I'll take my Megillah, I'll go to an expert, Lilmod. Now, I want you to see how unusual this statement is. In other words, a guy wakes up Purim morning. By the way, he obviously didn't hear Megillah the night before, because otherwise this is moot. He wakes up Purim morning and says, I have an obligation to read Megillah. I own a Megillah, but I never learned how to read it. So I'm going to go carry it to an expert so he'll show me how to do it. By the way, I don't know if you've ever learned how to read Megillah or taught anybody how to read Megillah. It does not take an hour. It takes several weeks. I've coached a few people on how to read Megillah. It is not a simple thing. So if somebody doesn't know how to read Megillah, to say, oh, I'll go over and the guy will show me how to do it, which is why there's another version of the statement, which is, I don't know how to make the proper brachot on the Megillah. That you could teach in a minute, but then why do you need to carry the Megillah? It's all very strange. And why are you waking up today and saying, I don't know how to do it? Like, where have you been? I mean, Obi and I were just talking about people making plans for Purim, you know, a couple weeks in advance, but, you know, that morning, that's kind of excessive. All right. And then the Gemara says, so the concern is, which itself is also a little misworded, because what's the concern? The concern is you're going to take the Megillah out of your house, walk through the public thoroughfare, and then walk into the expert's house and bring it, and you will have carried. The problem isn't carrying it four steps in Reshut Rabim. The problem is bringing it out from Reshut Yachid to Reshut Rabim. Okay. But in any case, it is what it is. Behainu tama de shofar, behainu tama de lulav. And this is a phrase that shows up with reconfiguration three times in Shas. You can guess where. The same reasoning is why we don't blow shofar on Shabbat, and the same is the reasoning why we don't shake lulav on Shabbat. So that means, shofar, I wake up Rosh Hashanah morning, it's Shabbat, I say, ooh, I have a shofar, I need to know, but I don't know how to blow a shofar, I'll go carry it to the expert, he'll show me how to blow a shofar. So therefore, we don't blow a shofar on Shabbat. Here is a lulav. I have my lulav, but I don't know how to shake a lulav. What's to know? I don't know how to shake a lulav. So I'm going to go to the expert. He'll show me how to shake a lulav. Now, by the way, with lulav, I can sort of understand doing it that day. That I get. But then again, that's exactly defeats the argument, because it's very easy to figure it out. That's why you could do it that day. But if that's the case, then why is there a decree here? Strange. Now, that's Rabba. Rabba says the reason we don't read Megillah on Shabbat is because of the concern that you're going to carry the Megillah to the expert to show you how to do it. And he says the same reasoning applies to Shofar and Lulav. Rav Yosef is Rabba's colleague. They're both in Pumadita. Rav Yosef says, I have a different reason why we don't read Megillah on Shabbat. Now, by the way, that immediately raises the specter, well, why don't you like Rabba's reason? I have a different reason. What's my reason? We already heard this in the Sosefta. And that is, the poor people are anticipating Mikra Megillah, meaning they see that the Megillah is being read, and they anticipate getting their money. And of course, you can't give out the tzedakah on Shabbat. So therefore, now notice what happens. We read Megillah on Friday so that we can give out tzedakah on Friday. You understand how the cart is pulling the horse here? It's a little strange. Tanya Namiachi, and we have a braita that sort of supports this. Afa Pisham Ruk Farim Makdimin Liyom HaKnisa, even though we said in the Mishnah that the villagers get to read earlier than the 14th on market day, Govin bo bayom, machalkin bo bayom. But the day that we read Megillah is the day we collect and give it out. Avi shamru adam mishum damru. So ela hoil v'amru. In other words, the reading should be since they said. It's not in spite of the fact, but the opposite. Since they said that we read early on market day, that's the day that we give it out. Why? Because the poor people are anticipating. By the way, just as a side note, look at the sensitivity of halacha. The poor people are going to be getting tzedakah, and we want to make sure that they don't get their hopes up when they hear the Megillah read on Friday, and we told, yeah, come back Sunday for tzedakah. So we say, you know what? We're going, and we don't want to have the Megillah read on Shabbos, because then they're going to say, well, where's the tzedakah? In other words, they hear the Megillah, they anticipate getting a tzedakah. So out of that sensitivity, that's beautiful, but it also leaves us with a couple problems. One problem is, well, then why don't we blow shofar or shake lulav on Shabbat? That this reason only applies to Megillah. And we could also give out the tzedakah on Friday and tell them, come back tomorrow for Mikra Megillah. Maybe there's something else going on. All right, let's take a look. Now, let's take a look at Shofar and Lulav. All right? The beginning of the fourth chapter of Masechet Rosh Hashanah. Yom Tov Shel Rosh Hashanah Shechal Yot B'Shabbat. Okay, so like this year. First day of Rosh Hashanah Shabbos. Ba'mikdash tokim avol olam medina. They would only blow shofar in the precincts of the Mikdash, but not out there. Not out there in the lands. And the reason was because we don't blow shofar on Shabbat, except in a place where everybody's very careful to not violate the law. So in the Mikdash, we know that the Kohanim are careful. All right. Mishacharav Beit HaMikdash, once the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, Yitkin Rabbi Yocham and Zakkai, you know, Yocham and Zakkai made a number of takanot to try to keep the spirit of the Beit HaMikdash alive or the awareness of it in one way or another. Shiyutokim b'chol makom sheyesh bo Beit Din. His takana was that you actually blow shofar on Shabbat anywhere there's a Beit Din. Does it mean the Beit Din or a Beit Din? Big discussion. And that's the rest of the speech. Now, parenthetically, the Rif, Rabbeinu Yitzhak Alfasi, 11th century, blew shofar on Shabbat, Rosh Hashanah, in his Beit Din in Fez, in Morocco. So this was understood to be the one central place where the biggest rabbis are, we blow shofar on Shabbat. Okay. Now, the Gemara asks the question, Minahani Mili, why don't we blow shofar on Shabbat everywhere? And so the Gemara quotes two psukim. One pasuk says that Rosh Hashanah is a zichron truah, meaning a commemoration of blasting. And the other says it's a yom truah, it's a day of blasting. How do you reconcile those? The answer is simple. When it falls on Shabbat, you don't blow shofar. When it falls during the week, you do blow shofar. So both psukim exist, and the psukim distribute based on the kind of year it is. If it's a year where Rosh Hashanah is on Shabbat, then you do the remembrance, right? That's what Rava says. I don't get it. If you're telling me that not blowing shofar on Shabbat is the din of the Torah, then why do you do it in the Mikdash? Why do you do it at all? And besides which, there's nothing wrong with blowing shofar. It's not a malacha at all. So Rava says, and in other versions, it's Rabba says, the reason's very simple. You're allowed to blow shofar on Shabbat. The rabbis made a gzeirah, sorry, Rava says, and he quotes Rabba, who was his teacher when he was very young, who says everybody needs to blow shofar. Not everybody knows how to do it. The Gzeira Hashem, he might take it with him in his hand and go in the Reshut HaRabim to bring it to the guy's house to show him how to blow shofar, and then look at the green line. By the way, notice that there's three cases where it happens, and in each case, there's a reference in the same exact language to the other two cases. Okay, last piece. Lulav va'arava shisha v'shiva. Now, this is pay close attention to this because it comes out very surprising. The mitzvah of lulav, I will just focus on lulav, can be done for 7 days or 6 days. By the way, you've never done lulav for 7 days. It could be done for 6 days or 7 days. Lulav shiva ketzad, how could that play out? Yom tov rishon shalachag shechal liot b'shabbat. If the first day of Sukkot is Shabbat, like this year, lulav shiva, you shake lulav all 7 days. The din of the Mishnah is that when the first day of Sukkot falls on Shabbat, you shake lulav. So you're going to shake it all week. Because the first day of Sukkot is from the Torah. It's an obligation of the Torah. And if we have to shake lulav, the rest are Durabanan. So you see that this whole thing of lulav, now watch here. The Gemara asks the question, why don't we shake it 7 days every year? When the third day of Sukkot is Shabbat, why don't we shake it? So Rabbi says, Zera Shema Idlanu B'Yadov Yedach Itzbalki, etc., etc. Right in time of the Shofar, and in time of the Megillah. So by the way, all three are there and they all match. Okay? Which is simply that every one of these acts involves an object. You have to do something that takes artistry with that object to fulfill the mitzvah. Most people don't know how to do it. And the concern is that on Shabbat, they'll take the object to the expert to show them how to do the artistry. And they'll carry, so therefore we don't do it at all. Now, I want you to think about how difficult this is. The Torah commands us to do a mitzvah. And yet, the rabbis come along and say, don't do this mitzvah. It's what we call Shevi Al Taseh. Don't do this mitzvah because you may violate Shabbat. And by the way, you have to think about it. The circumstances here are very, very unlikely. That somebody's going to wake up Shabbos morning, say, oh, I have to read Megillah today. I don't know how to do it. Let me go to an expert and he'll show me how to do it. And yet we prevent doing a mitzvah. Look at the Rambam says. The Rambam says it very simply, but the Rambam, there's a nuance in the Rambam we've got to pay attention to. The Rambam and the laws of Shofar, which by the way, he put the Shofar, Sukkah, and Lulav in one set. That's important here. Says, why don't we blow shofar? Because you might carry it for someone who will actually blow it for you. So it's not so much that he'll show you, but somebody will blow it for you, and you'll carry it. In lulav, he says, if Shabbat falls out during the week, we don't shake lulav. Meaning if Shabbat falls out, not on the first day, but middays of Sukkot, we don't shake lulav. Same thing, and notice what he says. I put it in red. Kamosha Gazuba Shofar, meaning the Ravram is referencing himself. He said five chapters earlier, the reason that we don't blow shofar on Shabbat. Now, five chapters later, he says, and the same reason is why we don't shake lulav when one of the middle days of Sukkot falls out on Shabbat, like we said about shofar. Look at the Ravram says about Megillah. Ein korina to Megillah v'Shabbat. We don't read Megillah on Shabbat. We're concerned that he's going to take it and carry it to an expert. And by the way, this makes a lot more sense. Not that the expert's going to show him how to do it. You can't do that in 5 minutes. But the expert will read for him. By the way, if the guy's an expert, doesn't he have his own Megillah? Okay, problem. But notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't connect it to Shofar and Lulav. You know, this stands independently. Okay, food for thought. Are you ready for the surprise? Here's the surprise. The Talmud Yerushalmi, in the third parak of the Yerushalmi, which, try this on, is the fourth chapter in the Bavli, talks about the four parshiyot, right? And the Mishnah, which had said, the first Shabbat, you read Shkalim, the second Shabbat, you read Zachor, the third Shabbat, you read Parah, the fourth Shabbat, you read Chodesh. And the Tosefta, and the Mishnah says, which is the first Shabbat? The first Shabbat is Shabbat Rosh Chodesh Adar, like this week, or the Shabbat before Rosh Chodesh Adar. Okay, like happens most years. Ezu Shabbat Rishana, kol shachal Rosh Chodesh Adar, liot betocha, filu erev Shabbat. Which means that if that if Rosh Chodesh Adar is on a Friday, then you still read it 6 days earlier. Okay, now watch this. So they asked the question. I'll go through this whole thing. Tana Shmuel Masayel Rav Ila. Ezu Shabbat Shnia. What's Shabbat Shnia? Kol Shechal HaPurim Liyot B'tochah V'ilu Rav Shabbat. Even if Purim is on Friday, you read, and that happens this year, you read Zachor beforehand. By the way, we're reading Zachor a week and a half from now. Don't forget. So even if Purim is all the way on Friday, you still read it 6 days earlier. You don't read it the next day. Right? Rav Nachman bar Yaakov bai hagam atzmacha shachal chamisha saliyot b'shabbat. So what happens if the 15th falls on Shabbat, which is this year? Likrot b'megilat Esther in at yachol. You can't read Megillah on Shabbat. Why? Now we expect them to say either because you're not allowed to because you're concerned you might carry it, or because the poor people are anticipating you can't give them staka. Watch what he says in the Yerushalmi. She'ein korin b'kitvei HaKodesh l'minchan l'malan. There's a decree in the Mishnah, which is on the next page, but for your own reference, that they're not allowed to actually read ketuvim on Shabbat, except at the end of the day. And there's a discussion about Bavli Yerushalmi why that is, and it's all in the material below. So in other words, you're not allowed to read ketuvim on Shabbat, for a reason that has nothing to do with you might carry, or has nothing to do with the poor people. It's a special decree. You can't read Ketuvim, which would mean, according to the Yerushalmi, all of the Megillot that we read on Shabbat, it's wrong. We let Rut, we let Hanukkah if it falls on Shabbat, but Kohelet and Shir Hashirim, be wrong minute. You don't read it, Megillot. Why? For a whole different reason. And the reason put short is either because it'll be done at the time of the Beit Midrash and people won't be learning, or because people will then make a Kal Vachomer, if I can't read Esther, I certainly can't read my contracts that I got. And people will avoid reading business contracts because Kal Vachomer. Whatever the reason. Which means it's a whole different reason given. Okay, now let's watch it play through. This is going to be wild. The Yerushalmi, Talmud Yerushalmi, on Rosh Hashanah asks why we don't blow shofar on Shabbat, and look what it does. Katuv achad omer yom trua, katuv achad omer zichron trua. One pasuk says it's a day of blasting, one says it's a commemoration of blasting. How do we reconcile them? When it falls during the week, it's yom trua. When it falls on Shabbat, it's zichron trua, which means not blowing shofar on Shabbat is the oraita. It's not a concern you might carry it. It's inherent and essential that the Torah mandated that when the first day of the seventh month falls out during the week, you blow shofar. When it falls out on Shabbat, you only mention shofar. And this shows up twice here, right? You have...
why is this again?
Because the Torah, this is the Yerushalmi, says because the Torah uses two terms to describe the day. One of them is a day of blasting, and the other is a day to remember blasting. How do you reconcile them? Very simply. You blast if it's during the week. You remember, you mention, you talk about it, but you don't do it when it's on Shabbat. So the Yerushalmi understands, and by the way, the Bavli brought this up originally and rejected it. This is not a foreign idea.
Can't you do both?
So now you find the following.
I mean, your buddy in Israel has a totally different take on the Yom Teruah and Zichron Teruah.
What?
What's his name in Gush?
Okay, staying with Yerushalmi here.
I got you.
Okay, now.
But you're saying Yerushalmi, Bavli rejected this?
Bavli brought up this exact thing right here and said, why don't we blow shofar on Shabbat? And it brought up the same thing and rejected it and said, if that's the case, then why blow it in the Mikdash? So Yerushalmi has another answer for that.
Okay.
Okay, but here's the wild thing. We have three mitzvot, the mitzvah of shofar, the mitzvah of lulav, and the mitzvah of megillah. Shofar and lulav are d'oraita, lulav is on the first day of Sukkot, and megillah is d'rabbanan. And yet, Rabba said they're all avoided on Shabbat for the same reason, which is we might concern you might carry the object, right? The Yerushalmi rejects that. The Yerushalmi says, when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, not blowing shofar on Shabbat is part of the essential law, the d'oraita. When it comes to megillah, there's a whole different reason we don't read Megillah on Shabbat. has nothing to do with caring, and has nothing to do with the poor, has to do with the fact that the rabbis made a decree not to read ketuvim on Shabbat. Okay? What about lulav? The Yerushalmi doesn't address lulav. So I'm going to remind you what it said in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, it said that when the first day of Sukkot falls on Shabbat, we shake lulav all 7 days. We don't do that, in fact. Why don't we do that? So the Gemara says, because in Chutz La'aretz, we're not totally comfortable saying today's the 15th of Tishrei. How do I know? Because I kept the second day Yom Tov. Which means I can't shake it on the first day of Sukkot, because today might not even be Sukkot yet. It might be tomorrow. That's why I keep 2 days. But watch what happens in Eretz Yisrael. So there's a fascinating book that has several different editions. This edition is called Sefer HaChilukim Bein Bnei Mizrach U'Ma'arav. We last looked at it, I think a year and a half ago, or 2 years ago, when we looked at the issue of Lechem Mishnah. And we saw that the minhag in Eretz Yisrael during the period of the Gonim was to have one loaf on the table. Remember that? And in Bavel too, we do Bavel, of course. Sefer HaChilukim, there's another version of it. The Levine put out Otzar Chilufei Minagim. All right. Has the following record. Anshei Mizrach, Aleph Mem, that means in Bavel. Ein Toani, this is, by the way, was composed in the 9th or 10th century. This is Gaonic. Ein Toanim Lulav Shabbat. They do not carry Lulav on Shabbat. Meaning when Shabbat, first day of Sukkot is Shabbat, they don't do Lulav, like we do. Like we don't. Uvnei Eretz Yisrael Toanim Lulav Adas B'Yom Terishon Shachag Shachal Yom B'Shabbat. In Eretz Yisrael, guess what? They actually do take Lulav when the first day of Sukkot is on Shabbat. Shenamar, and they quote a pasuk to support it. Ula kachtem, on the first day you shall take, afilu b'Shabbat. So we find here that as late as the 9th century, in Bavel, when Sukkot fell out the way it fell out this year, the first day on Shabbat, they did what we did, which is because we do it because they did it. They didn't shake lulav. In Eretz Yisrael, they did. Why? Well, there's several components here. First of all, because in Eretz Yisrael, they knew today was the first day. That's why they keep one day yontif. They knew for sure today is a mitzvah d'oraita. And the mitzvah d'oraita, I'm not going to put it aside because of a gzerah.
Yes.
There's another reason. Hold on a second. There's another reason is it's clear that in the Yerushalmi and in Eretz Yisrael, they either were unfamiliar with or they rejected the gzerah that says when you have an object of a mitzvah, and the object takes some artistry to fulfill the mitzvah, you may not do that mitzvah on Shabbos because the inexpert will carry it to the expert to help him out. In the Yerushalmi, the Yerushalmi rejected that. The Yerushalmi did not buy into it. And therefore, when it came to Megillah, it said, you're right, we don't read Megillah on Shabbat because of a problem, we're not allowed to read Ketuvim on Shabbat. So when the original Takana was made to read Megillat Esther, it was made to read on the 14th and 15th, of course, and if Shabbat came, you'd have to read it a day early or two. Yes. That when it comes to shofar, the Torah tells us not to blow shofar on Shabbat, not the rabbis. And when it comes to lulav, guess what? We shake lulav when the first day comes out on Shabbat. So what you find is a very different orientation towards this essential problem. What do you do when there is a mitzvah that has to be done in a particular date? That date falls out on the day of Shabbat, and there may be concern that in order to fulfill the mitzvah, it may lead to some violation of Shabbat. In Bavel, the direction was, we don't do it. In Eretz Yisrael, the direction was, yeah, we do it. But there are other considerations why we may actually avoid doing it. So hopefully, Sam, I'll get your question in a second. So hopefully this has given us a better sense of not only what happened 6 months or 5 months ago, but also about what's going to be happening in 2 weeks when in the whole world is going to be reading on Friday, and in Yerushalayim, they're going to be reading a day early.